This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
'Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. In this episode, we're going to look at three pillars. And these three pillars underpin every single act of worship that we do. And especially relating to the acts of worship that start in the heart, these three pillars are pillars of worship in the heart. And these pillars of worship in the heart, they apply to dhikr and they apply to every other kind of worship. But specifically, we're going to look at them from the angle of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these three pillars are really simple to remember. They are hope, fear, and love. With these three pillars, our dhikr can be based upon, our dhikr can be successful, insha'Allah ta'ala, when it is based upon these three pillars. Hope, fear, and love. So let's have a look at this from the angle of Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha mentions these three things, as do many of the chapters of the Quran, as do many of the ayat, as do many of the fundamentals of worship in Islam, are based upon these three things. So we're going to look at how they interact and how we apply that to our dhikr and our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. And this contains the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because this reminds you, Rabb, Allah is Ar-Rabb, Rabbul Alameen. Allah is the one who is giving you, providing for you, looking after you, taking care of you, controlling the universe, making sure that evil things don't happen to you, keeping you on the straight path. This kind of understanding of Ar-Rabb is an understanding of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you think about what does Ar-Rabb mean? Ar-Rabb is the Lord, the one who creates, the one who provides, the one who sustains, the one who controls the universe, the one who brings the dead to life and causes the living to die, the one who sends down rain from the sky, the one who brings out vegetation from the earth. This is Ar-Rabb. This is the Lord. And when Allah tells you that He is Rabbul Alameen and you praise Him, this increases you in the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because you remember all of the blessings that Allah has given you, the fact that Allah has taken care of you, the fact that Allah has allowed you to stand and to worship Him in this way, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided you to Islam and guided you to following the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman is a name of Allah that relates to mercy. Perhaps we can say the most merciful, because Ar-Rahman is the one whose rahmah encompasses every single thing. His mercy encompasses every single thing. Everything. Even the disbelievers in this earth, they are surrounded by the mercy of Allah. That Allah hasn't yet caused them to die, that Allah hasn't yet taken them to account for their disbelief, that Allah still gives them a chance to turn and accept Islam, that Allah still gives them a degree of comfort in this life. Even they are surrounded, even the animals are surrounded by the mercy of Allah. Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, the one whose mercy encompasses every single thing. And then Allah is Ar-Rahim. And Ar-Rahim, the scholars of Islam, they differed according to two different opinions about the meaning of Ar-Rahim. So some of the scholars, they said Ar-Rahim is the specific mercy of Allah, that Allah is specifically merciful, or especially merciful to the believers in the Akhirah. Because now in this dunya, we all witness the mercy of Allah around us. But in the hereafter, this mercy will only be for the believers. So they said that Ar-Rahim is the one who is merciful to the believers in the hereafter. However, this seems to have some queries over it, or something about it which doesn't quite fit with some of the ayat of the Quran, because Allah tells us that Allah is to all people Ra'ufun Rahim. Inna Allaha kana bin nas la Ra'ufun Rahim. Allah is Ra'uf, kind, and Allah is Rahim to all of the people. So some of the other scholars, they came and they said, Ar-Rahman is the general mercy of Allah that encompasses every single thing. So Allah is the most merciful, and Ar-Rahim refers to the action of showing mercy to His creation. Ar-Rahim refers to the action of showing mercy to His creation. So if we do it like this, we can say Allah is the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. And this seems to be the more correct of the two opinions, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best, that Ar-Rahman is the most merciful and Ar-Rahim is the bestower of mercy, the one who bestows His mercy upon whoever He wills. So Ar-Rahman refers to the general mercy of Allah that exists, and Ar-Rahim to the fact that Allah shows that mercy to whoever He wills. He shows it to the believers in the Akhirah, He shows it to some of the people on the dunya, He shows it to you throughout your life, and this is the mercy that Allah Azza wa Jal shows, the action of bestowing mercy. So Allah is the most merciful, and Allah is the bestower of mercy. And this instills within us hope, the hope in Allah. And what does Allah Azza wa Jalla say? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. When you hear about the hadith of the bitaqah, the hadith of the man who came and he had 99 scrolls and each of the scrolls was as far as the eye can see, and he had no good deeds at all except for a tiny little piece of paper or a tiny little card that he extracted from his pocket, and this poor person has no good deeds, just 99 scrolls of evil deeds. He says that they are his, he admits that they are his, and Allah Azza wa Jal commands him to put this paper or put this card onto the scales, and this card written on it is La ilaha illallah, and it outweighs all of his bad deeds. When you hear that the person who says a few short words, like somebody who says Astaghfirullah al-Azim alladhi la ilaha illahu Al-Hayyul Qayyum wa Atubu Ilay. These few simple words, I seek forgiveness from Allah, the most great, the one who there is no God worthy of worship except for Him, and I repent to Him. He says these few words and all of his sins are forgiven, even if he has run away from the battlefield. Even if he has committed the worst of sins, and from the worst of sins in Islam, if he says it sincerely repenting to Allah, all of his sins are forgiven. So this gives us hope. So Surah Al-Fatiha begins with the love of Allah, then it moves on to the hope in Allah, and then Maliki Yawm al-Din, the fear of Allah, that Allah is the sovereign of the day of recompense. Or Maliki Yawm al-Din, that Allah is the king of the day of recompense. Yawm al-Din, the day when everyone is going to be recompensed for what they have done. That day when the sun is going to be brought so close, when the people are going to be drowning in their own sweat, when the people will run from prophet to prophet, asking them, please, 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 give us an intercession with Allah for Allah to begin the judgment between us. We can't live like this. We can't stand like this. That day that is 50,000 years long. You imagine what it's like to wait in a queue. And you imagine you wait in a queue for 20 minutes, for 30 minutes, for 40 minutes, and how much impatient you are. Then imagine that in the queue it's very hot, and you know you're fanning yourself, and you don't have any water, you're dehydrated, you're feeling very sick, you're feeling dizzy, and you're waiting in the queue a long time. Then imagine that there is a fear there, that there are people being attacked, being harmed, being punished, and this is nothing compared to the Day of Judgment. And then imagine that day is 50,000 years long. This is something that makes you fear. And Allah is the sovereign, the controller. There is no There is nobody else. There is nothing else that can save you on that day. You can go to any prophet, they can't save you on that day. Not even our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was indicated in the authentic hadith of the shafa'ah of his intercession, that his intercession will be for those people who say La ilaha illallah sincerely from their heart. If you're not from the people who say La ilaha illallah, not from the people of Tawheed, the people who worship Allah alone, then you will not be able to get even the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those people who the Prophet ﷺ will intercede for in the hellfire, those people will be people who Allah Azza wa Jal wants to take out. The Prophet ﷺ can't choose. He can't save, for example, Abu Talib, who passed away upon a religion other than Islam. Even though Abu Talib was a beloved person to the Prophet ﷺ, and he defended him, and he loved him, and he cared for him, but he can't save him from the hellfire. Allah is the only one in this world. We have kings, we have sovereigns, we have rulers. There are so many kings and presidents and sovereigns and rulers and prime ministers. But on that day, there is only one king and there is only one sovereign. And this should make you fear Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the love of Allah, which is your guide, which takes you through your life. And like Allah azza wa jalla says, and from the people are those who have taken besides Allah gods. They love them like they love Allah, but those who believe love Allah more. So we are commanded to love Allah and to make the love of Allah at the head of the bird. If the bird is flying, the bird is flying with two wings. He is flying with the wing of hope and the wing of fear. He is balancing himself between those two issues. He's making sure that he doesn't hope too much so that he becomes like the Nasara, like the Christians, who have nothing but hope. They have no fear of Allah. You say, will Allah ever punish you? They will say, how can Allah ever punish us? Likewise, to a certain extent, among some of the Jews who said, the hellfire will not touch us except for a few days. The hellfire will not touch us except for a few days. This complete hope and no fear. And likewise, we don't let fear take us to the point where we despair. So if you find yourself despairing of Allah, if you find yourself fearing that there is no hope for you, that you're gone, that you're finished, you don't have any benefit, that's it, it's over for you, you're just waiting to go to the hellfire, then you need to increase in the hope of Allah. Remember the things that make you increase in the hope of Allah, the fact that so many people were forgiven for huge sins that they did, and Allah forgive them for the tiniest of deeds. That immoral woman who fed a dog, or who gave a dog a drink of water, and she was forgiven for all of the immorality that she did. You look at the person who killed 100 people and he was forgiven when he moved to a different town and he walked towards the repentance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are things that give us hope. But at the same time, we also don't let that hope reach the point where we don't fear Allah. Because one of the characteristics of the people of Jannah is that they are mushfiqeen. They live in a state of fear. They always worry that their deeds will not be accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. They always fear that their actions are not going to be accepted. So you balance yourself like two wings of a bird between fear and between hope, and the head of the bird, the thing that is taking you forward, the thing that is preceding everything else, is the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when you remember Allah, and when you do this dhikr, whatever dhikr it is that you're doing a dhikr that is according to the sunnah. When you do this dhikr that is according to the sunnah, your guide is the love of Allah, the thing that propels you forward is the love of Allah, and you have the two wings that balance you, the wings of fear and the wings of hope. I do hope that you join us inshaAllah ta'ala for a future episode of The Power of Dhikr. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a
fresh start. So drink my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode.